So this is our second Sunday of our sermon series, Holy Play. And in this sermon series, we're referencing a book, surprise, surprise, also named Holy Play. The author is Kirk Byron Jones. Jones is a professor at Andover Newton Theological Seminary in Boston, and previous becoming a PhD and doctorate in theology, he was, and still is, he's a Baptist pastor, right? Jones talks about that over the past number of decades, it's become noticeable that folks are becoming more aware of their purpose in life and the meaning in life and having a meaningful life. Now you wonder why the past few decades might that be more prevalent of folks wanting to get back to understanding that. Well, Jones talks about, he said that the U.S. is a very affluent country. Would you agree? We are. And this is good, right? Hardworking folks. But this affluence caused the U.S. and specifically Silicon Valley, would you agree, is quite affluent, right? To have the material things to become a want and an importance possibly in life. And Jones talks about that with that, he said that a material affluence has caused a spiritual influenza. How about that? And what it said is that, and we've heard this before, but it became really noticeable, having lots of stuff, material things, doesn't really necessarily connect to happiness. Have you ever heard that? Right? So it started to become noticeable, but what happened out of that is folks were looking for a deeper meaning to life and to purpose in life. Makes sense, right? Well, Jones talks about also another area the past few decades that has caused folks to care more about why am I here and what's my purpose. And that is, oh, by the way, if y'all can tell, photo of really nice jewelry and a car that's pretty high in price, right? Materialistic. But now, another area that caused a greater focus in purpose of life is some of the situations that occurred the past few decades that got our attention. 9/11. So you can see here in the top left, that is the memorial in New York City for what happened in with 9/11. Horrific. And then to the top right, do y'all remember Hurricane Katrina? Did y'all know? Of course, it was a Category 5. That is the most serious, intense hurricane you can have. The most destruction ever in the United States happened with that hurricane, and many lost their lives. COVID, the past many years, recent, right? Wow. Worldwide, very much a wake up, and then bottom right, those that work in companies or organizations, is the job as secure the past 20 years as it used to be from a standpoint? You know, now we have layoffs and et cetera. Yeah. The past few decades has been a wake-up, and what Jones says is that this, he calls it an in-your-face, it brought the fragility of life and caused us all to really cherish what we're doing here on earth, right? Kind of a wake up. Okay, so if we have that, so what does it mean to understand our purpose? Well, purpose comes from the Latin word proponere, which means to put forward or declare. It's declaring what brings meaning to us, right? Where's our passion? If you have a passion for something, your heart's in it. Would you agree? Yeah. And so what Joan says is purpose comes from inside of us, not from others. That others can help us understand possibly our possibilities for purpose. Can others really cause us to have the passion about something we're going to do? No, actually, it's us. And so Joan says, no one knows you like you know you, right? Okay, so obviously that's a physician there, right? Not just as adults, but also in teenage years, so scouts, right? Middle school, high school, not the most important possibly thoughts you've got going, but every so often you may be thinking about, what would I like to do as an adult later? Fair? Just kind of thinking about it, right? And so teenagers, do realize that we as adults all the way through our life are thinking the same thing of, okay, possibly I might want to have a career change, or I change jobs, or I'm retired, and figuring out what passions I have in retirement. By the way, scouts, that's a long way away, right? You don't have to worry about that. But you get the point, is throughout our lives, including as middle school, high school, you start thinking about, right? What our author Jones says is that it's good to look around at other adults to see what they're doing that might be of interest, right? But what Jones says is that even if, let's say, you're in a doctor's office and you go, wow, it would be really something to be a physician because they help people. By the way, are there lots of other careers that help people? Sure. You have teachers that are helping you in your studies, right? You know, there are all kinds of professions that help. But so you're in the doctor's office, you go, wow, that would be pretty amazing, and it would. But what Jones says is, that alone shouldn't be the only way you figure out your passions. I'm going to move forward, but Jones says events alone are insufficient. Desires that derive from a person's essence and evolving sense of self must accompany events. Notice self as in, remember we said earlier, do you rely on just others? No, you really want to think for yourselves, what excites me, right? And he says, there needs to be a sustained approval of the heart. You want your heart into it, right? And so being to discover and understand that passion, being a volunteer in a hospital or doctor's office can help provide the approval of the heart. Loving science and being academically such that science is something you feel good about, or math, would be important for sustaining that heart approval. So essentially, Jones is trying to help us out on finding our passion. Purpose is not something we passively receive from God. Purpose is something we actively create from God. Okay, I got to tell you, when I was growing up, for whatever reason, I thought there was this, I had to figure out what God wanted for my life. Ever wonder where God is in this, right? Because God wants wonderful things for us. So maybe he has a plan, right? Well, not exactly. This will help. Because co-creating your purpose with God is critical. Did y'all know that actually God wants to work with you and not tell you what you should do? Nice. In fact, Jones says, if God wanted to live your life for you, God would not have created you in the first place. That's kind of funny, isn't it? But it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Right? God wants us to be thrilled with what we might like to do. Okay? All right. Jones gave this example I really liked. And it fits. Do we have some snow happening in California? Yeah, in fact, I heard that they're getting another 5 feet up in the Sierras. Have you heard that? Yeah, pretty incredible. In fact, yeah, hope everybody's okay. It's a lot of snow. Okay, I want you to imagine. When it's snowing like we see in the photo here, really coming down, how many snowflakes do you think there are happening in the Sierras with a snow like that? Is the word a lot good enough? Yeah, millions wouldn't even do it, would it? Right? It's a lot, right? That's good enough. Now, I want you to think of each snowflake is what you could do in your life at any point in time in your life. It's not just for our middle school and high school. Later as we, right, all the opportunities we look for throughout life to be doing. If you think about it, there are that many possibilities almost, aren't there, of things you can do. Pretty cool. All right. So how does it work with God in this? So imagine God saying, these are all your possibilities, but I have selected just one snowflake for you, one opportunity. Find that one I have chosen and live my selection to the best of your ability. How does that feel? That's so great, huh? First off, does that make you tired thinking about figuring out that one snowflake God wants for us? Right? You'll be happy to know that's not the way God works. Jones says, would you agree this whole ordeal would leave us more frustrated than faithful, more paralyzed than empowered? We wouldn't feel so great trying to figure out what God wants for our life. So instead of having it that way, now imagine God saying, isn't it wonderful? Each flake represents a purpose, many of which you will love, blessing your life and all life. Go ahead, consider as many dream flakes as you like. Live fully and freely the ones that give you the most joy and satisfaction, and don't be afraid. Whatever choices you make, know this. I will be with you. Enjoy playing in the snow. How does that feel? I like to think God is like a cheerleader for all of us, cheering us on with whatever choice we make. That feels good, doesn't it? Does that help in understanding how God helps and works with us? Pretty cool. So after service, you don't have to look for the snowflake. The one snowflake from God, right? Okay. So in our scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about this. You remember hearing Apostle Paul says, be free. Freedom of choice, which is just what Jones is talking about. We get to choose which snowflake or snowflakes interest us, right? And, okay, does say, oh, by the way, some choices try to avoid. In fact, I like to say that just avoid the ones that God might not smile upon, right? We all know it, right? But Apostle Paul goes right to the heart of, as we make our choices, God provides a spirit that supports us, right? in our choices, remember, together with God. And the fruit, the result of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How does that feel? Good, right? So as we look at snowflakes, opportunities we like to do in our life, what we want to do is do it with these kinds of characteristics. Praise be to God.